Shit, what the fuck? Before we start, there are like any questions about the stuff from any of the previous lectures? Any questions that I need to answer? Anything that I need to like explain again?
There's one slide I was looking for the lectures.
Yeah.
It was like you explained like it was like many to many. You can translate to like really foreign key.
Yeah. Yeah. Blackboard, and then ER to ER mapping under week 40, and then step 4 and step 5. What's this? Step 4. Which is slide 14.
Yeah.
And then step 5, it's slide 17. It's a bit much text, but like, do you understand the logic behind like doing stuff like this, or should I talk about it again? Of like, why do we create like another table with foreign keys for stuff? It's like this type of stuff, it just comes from experience of figuring out how to do this stuff, and it's just repetition. So yeah, I feel like that's usually the case for lectures. It's just like I'm here talking for like 2 hours, and then how much are you actually expected to like catch yourselves and retain? Like maybe 10%. But yeah, like the logic behind doing the mapping like this is that you have two tables, right? Or you have one relationship that can be many to many, which means like one employee can work for multiple projects. If like the general approach is we can't really like repeat employees, but we need to have like multiple records for like the projects they work on. One option for this, it would be to have if we had like arrays, right? Like that would be fairly easy because then you'd have like employee and then the list of projects they work on. But in SQL, there's no such thing, or there is, but it's not, it shouldn't really be used for most cases, for reasons we'll see today. Which then means like just you have to have some sort of like duplication, right? So if we just turn it into a different table, then we have a list of employees and the projects that they work on, plus whatever other information is regarding that relationship. Yeah. Today's lecture will go deeper into this. This is a bit too far away from my thingy, I think. Can you actually like hear me, or is it like super low? Can you? Okay. Because then what we'll talk about today is kind of like the continuation of what we talked about yesterday, and then next week we'll just do some more practical exercises and stuff. Also, because this lecture is already prepared and I've had like fuck all time to prepare stuff this week, so I'll just. But this is technically what we would, what we would talk about next week, or at least like that was planned. But that kind of, I'm skipping ahead. Also, I'm going a bit too fast in the lectures, maybe. But you don't ask any questions, so I just assume you know everything and just keep on keeping on. So if you want me to go slower, just ask more questions. Or just ask me to repeat. Or to ask him, or to like explain it a different way or whatever. Otherwise, I'll just be like, oh, yeah, they know everything. That's good. Everybody's getting an A on the exam. Yeah. So today we'll talk about normalization. And normalization is basically just a bunch of different steps or rules that you can follow to end up with a nice and usable database as opposed to just a mess of like relational model and database. So for databases, ideally we're not like repeating too much stuff, you know. If we, it's like in programming, if you're like copying and pasting code too many times, maybe there's like a better solution to solving your issues. So, like, too much duplicated data is bad in general. Well, it depends on the paradigm. But for SQL, at least, like, the general approach is to minimize how much duplicated stuff we have. And also to minimize, like, the amount of space we actually use storing all this data in the database. And also minimize how much stuff or how many operations need to be done to do anything in the database. So say, for example, if we are updating like a column or a row of a column for something, and then that requires us to, in order to maintain like validity of the data, needs to go through every row of some other table and change all the values there to match it. That's not a very good approach because that will take like a shit ton of time and it will scale like very poorly, right? Like if you, the more rows you have, the longer this will take. And if you reach a point where you have like a super big database, then queries and these operations might take like a lot of time in the sense that it's not really maintainable. And then what happens is, like the database is too slow to use, so then you introduce some sort of like caching layer or something that like saves the previous results, and then every time you're like getting data, you're getting outdated data, and then you're kind of defeating the purpose of having a database. So yeah, normalization is like basically the process of producing like a good layout for database and a good like relational model. Here's a graph or something. So got a bunch of data sources, and then you can use normalization as a bottom-up technique to create relations, or you can use top-down approach such as ER modeling. So you can either like identify all the different entities and the relations between them and all the attributes and stuff, And from there, you have a diagram that then you can turn into like a relational model, or you can just take all the data. You'll usually end up with like a big blob of data that is huge, that has like all the data that you need for every like entity or for every like stuff you have. And then from there, you create the relations. And then using normalization, you can check that all the stuff, all the relations you've created are valid and they're structured appropriately. So here's an example of some data redundancy. So here's like two alternatives. One, you have a customer with a full address. So we have the ID and then first name, street, street number, postal code, and town for that customer. And then alternative two is we split it into two different relations. And we have customer, first name, last name, street, street number, and then postal code. And then for the postal town, postal code, we have like the two attributes, which is postal code and town. What are the differences between these two alternatives? Like, can anyone tell me, like, why one should be better than the other? Yeah? You mean alternative two?
Yeah.
So in this case, we have two fields that are like directly related to each other, right? So like postal code and town. And there's never going to be like a postal code or two same postal codes that have the same town, at least in this. Which means if we're storing the town in every single address, like you said, then you have like a bunch of duplicate data all the time for no reason. Like, what's the purpose of storing the town and the postal code for every customer if like those two are related and you can just get the town from the postal code anyways? So if we have like 1,000 customers, then we're storing 1,000 different towns, but then maybe like there's only like 3 towns, right? So by reducing those fields into 2 relations, then we end up with like a lot smaller stuff. And also, say for example, somebody remembers that they should merge like counties or whatever, right? Like what is happening now. And then you need to go and search for every postal code in every town and update the town for every postal code. So if you have like 1,000 addresses or if you have like 1,000,000 addresses, that is going to take like 1,000,000 operations to do, change like the town for every single customer. If we just have a different, like one other table, then we can just go and be like, okay, what postal codes have been updated and moved to a different town? And then you do like 2 or 3 operations if you have like 3 different towns, right? Instead of just scaling infinitively. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it's always. It's always based on your specific needs, and this ends up being like an engineering problem, right? Where you have a trade-off between is it easier to use and is it easier to maintain? Or because joins also take like a fair amount of time, right? If we're selecting stuff and we need to select stuff from multiple tables and we need to join them, And if we have like 10 joins, that is going to take like a lot of time, right? So there you kind of have to evaluate what are the operations that take the longest. Or what operations are we doing more regularly? Are we selecting stuff, or are we inserting things, and we need to make sure that everything is valid and updating all these things, right? And that's why we'll see later in the semester. There's different types of databases. There's the concept of NoSQL databases, where the data is stored as just a plain document or a blob of JSON. If you've used JSON, it's basically just like a JavaScript object. There's not really an issue for duplication or for super much like validity restrictions. You just have like, instead of having a join with all the different stuff, you'd maybe have like a customer and all the different attributes of the customer, and then like the address of the customer would just be another field in that customer object, and then that address would have information about the town, and it would just be like a big unstructured mess. But that also gives you the benefit of it's a lot quicker to like retrieve and do stuff with it. But then you lose all the validity and all the integrity of data, which which might be an issue. Okay. So this kind of has to be evaluated on like a case-to-case basis, and as you gain more experience doing these things and actually you go more in depth into creating databases and knowing the trade-offs, then it'll become more clear like what should I use and in what situation and all that stuff. But that just comes with practice and having somebody that's older than you telling you like, oh, you should do it this way because of this and this.
Whatever you learn here only goes to like some extent, right? And then it kind of is up to just having time, like using all these things and just experience in the end.
So here's like some issues, right? For the first alternative is that, for example, if we're inserting data into the database, we need to make sure that the correct town is inserted for the correct postal code, right? If you're inserting data there and you're just like, okay, postal code, and then you make a mistake, like say you leave it up to the user, like whatever user is using your website, for example, they can like mess up, right? They often do. So they'll like maybe make a typo or whatever, which can be okay, say if you're if you're just storing the address for sending as like a delivery address, and if they like put in the wrong town, like, oh, sucks for them, right? Like maybe we'll end up in the wrong place. But if you have some situation where you actually need straight mapping between the postal code and the town, then that's not really like an option, right? And then also, like, how do we insert postal codes and town names for towns in which we don't have any customers? So how if we want to have the information about every postal code in Norway and every town in Norway, but then we don't have any customers associated with all of those different addresses and towns, then we won't have the full picture of what are the available postal codes in towns, right? A situation here would be like if you have a drop-down where you choose between all the postal codes or all the towns that are available for delivery, right? If there's no custom or if a delivery has never been made to that specific place, then we don't have any information about what is available or not. For the postal code and postal town, so the town name is stored only once for each postal code, right? And towns may exist without any entries to customer referencing it. So we can just have a postal town table that has like all the postal codes and all the towns that are available, and then the customers can freely like reference all these locations without having to have been like a customer in that place before. Also for deletions, so if we delete data and then we delete all the data that has a specific postal code and a town, then we lose information about those locations if all those customers that have the same postal code and town get deleted. If we're deleting stuff from the customer table there in alternative two, then we just maintain all the other records as well. Then modification, yeah, so same. If we're updating all these rows or if we're updating what postal code translates to in terms of town, then it's just easier to change one row as opposed to changing however many people use that town. Is this making some sense? Yeah? No? So here, consider the employee project thing. For changing the name of project one from building to something else, then all the employees, this update has to be made for all the employees that are associated with that project, right? Because we have in one table both information about the employee and the project and the employee name and the project name. If we separate this into two different tables, it could be like employee with the employee name and the employee project, and then project with the employee name and with the project number and the project name. Also when we're inserting, we can't really insert stuff without one or the other. So if we're inserting employees, the project has to be defined, and if we're inserting projects, the employees also have to be defined. For functional dependencies. The primary key attribute is the attribute part of the primary key, and then the non-prime key attribute is all the other attributes. Attribute is functionally dependent on some other one if for each value of A is associated exactly one value of B. So an example of a functional dependency is, say, if we have, like we had before, postal code plus town. The postal code or the town is dependent on the postal code, right? Because for each value of A, so for each postal code, we have one, exactly one value of what a town should be. Yeah, and then some more stuff. So here we could you have D number, this is department number, and then we have the department name, and then we have the department location. This seems to be like a one-to-one relationship, right, between like the number and the name. So for every number, there's going to be exactly one name, and there's going to be exactly one location. That means that in practice, the name of the department and the location of the department are functionally dependent on the number of the department. That basically means both of these columns can be removed, because we can get like all the information that is in these columns by just accessing the number of the department, and then just getting all the stuff that is associated with the number in like some other table, right? Does that make sense? So when you basically you look at a table and you try to figure out, okay, the value of this column, can I get it from something else? Like, does it depend on something else? Because there, for example, we have the birth date and the name, right? If you take a person named John, you can't really infer what their date of birth is, right? If I say like John, it can be like whatever old they would be. Same for salary, you can't really like figure out what the salary of a person is by their name. Yeah. Yeah, right. Because in this case, you can see that every row of data, or like if you take one row of data and you compare it with that every other one, they all have like the same department number, or they have the same name and location if they have the same number, right? Yeah, because it's basically duplicated information. Because if you just look at the department number, you're like, okay, like if I just have the department number, I can figure out what the other stuff is on its own. I don't need to like have this duplicated all the time, because this is going to be unique, right? So if I want to know what department is called sales, I know it's always going to be D20. And if I get department D20, I know it's always going to have the name sales. So this is just, you have something that is dependent on something else in the table, which means it's just duplicate information that doesn't really need to be there. Here's another example. We have the project number and the project name, right? In this case, for project number one, we always have the same name. So it's, you can infer that every project that has the number of one is going, or every row that has a project number of one is going to have the project name of e-commerce website. That basically means that if we take this data away and put it into some other table, every time we like search for project one, we're going to get the P name. And then it's just duplicate stuff that we have there. It doesn't really need to be there, because it can be inferred from something else. Same with the rate and the hourly rate. If we have rate category A, then we know that the hourly rate is something. If the rate category B is B, then the hourly rate is something else. If it's C, is 40, right? So again, it's like, it's all the same data in a way. If you can take, or if you can aggregate group like the two columns into one. So if you think about, you take all the columns and you figure out like there's a group here, this like e-commerce website and project one, like this, these are like always related. These can just be one single column, right? We could just have like a, if we imagine we can have a column that is like a, has multiple values, we could like merge those two columns into one that would have like two fields, which is project number and project name. Same with category, you could merge them, the two, into one, and it would just be like both the category and the hourly rate. And if that's usually the case, then you can probably separate it into something else. If we have, you can say that text to course might exist. However, the FD's teacher, course teacher text are ruled out. Whatever. That's fine. So here's, there's like a bunch of different forms that kind of progressively remove duplication from progressively remove duplication from tables and from relations. So you don't need to do it all at once. There's like some steps to going about like these forms. So you start with like the unnormalized form, which is a table that has one or more repeating groups. So let's say this is just like you get some information about what the ID of a company is, and the company might have like a name, and then it has a bunch of different locations, and then we, and then each location has like its own postal code and their own town. And we just take all this information that is related to one specific thing, like a company, and you just put it into a table where you can have multiple rows for one single entity. So this would be kind of like if we took an Excel and then there's like one row that is like one thing, and then like for each of those they can like split into multiple things, or you can have like multiple values for the same field. So say for example, if this was if this is company, like postal code could be like an array of things. Like these are like all the postal codes that belong to the company. To get that into like the first normal form, this allows composite attributes, so you can't have a field or a column that has like multiple values within it. So you can have like a column that says like postal information that then has like an object inside that has like both postal code and town. You can have multi-valued attributes, so you can't just have like an array of things in a column. It has to be individual values. And then you can't have any nested relations. So attributes whose values for an individual tuple are non-atomic. So a relation in which no cell contains repeated groups. So to go from the unnormalized form to the first normal form, you just basically just flatten the table, right? So you take these, and then you just repeat all the data. So 123 gets repeated three different times, plus all the other data, and then we have one row that is just one thing, right? Okay. second. Okay. Shit. So the first alternative was to just flatten stuff. So you just take the whatever this is, and then you split into the lowest common or the lowest possible division for that, like for each of the rows. So there we have like unique postal codes and postal towns. This could be grouped into something else, but you just take whatever is the smallest division, and then you create one row for each of those for each of those like small divisions.
They have the same ID.
Yeah.
Because it's
because here imagine we have one, the ID corresponds to like a company, right? So you have one company and that company can be in multiple locations. So then instead of just creating different rows for each of the locations, like the unnormalized form is basically you just create a nesting of stuff. So imagine how you do it in like JavaScript, for example, where you just have like the object company, and then you would have like the postal code array that has like a bunch of different arrays. Or you'd have like a locations array that has inside of it an object which is postal code plus town, right? Yeah. So the normalized form is basically just give me an object that has all the things inside of it, right? When you go into the first normal form, it's basically like, don't give me any object that has any arrays inside of it. So every value should be unique or should be like one single value. So no arrays are allowed. No nested stuff is allowed. One object should have just a flat structure of attributes. Back here, this is the same as just having like a huge ass tree of stuff. We can have like multiple like nested attributes. Those nested attributes can have other nested attributes. Here is just like take an object that is basically every key corresponds to one single value. So, see there for schema employee project relation with a nested relationship project. So, there we have like a nested thing, which is you have the social security number, and then we have the name, and then we have projects, and then projects can be like a multi-value thing. The way we split that up is we end up with employee project one, which has social security number and the name, and then employee project two that has a reference to the social security number, the project number, and then the number of hours. Should we take a break? Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'll start. So, like, take the two alternatives to passing from unnormalized to the first normal form. First one is flattening, where everything is ends up in one table, and it's just a bunch of duplicate entries with IDs and postal codes. The second option is decomposition, where we end up with two different tables, and then each ID has all of the information about the company in table one, and then in table two, we have all the locations for that company associated with the ID. When we do this, or when we split stuff into multiple tables, they should always be lossless, or we call this process decomposition, and they should always be undone by joining the table and it being lossless. So we should never like lose any data when we're decomposing one single table into multiple ones. You can always reverse it by doing a join between those tables and get exactly what you had in the first place. So if we're doing select and then joining the two tables, then we end up with the same exact thing. So here's an example of a badly designed table. This is bad because of a few reasons. Like, say we want to find how many or what users have more than two phone numbers. You can't just like easily just go and count the number of phone numbers. Then you need to like do some string operations and some complicated stuff in the select query to actually get the users that have two or more phone numbers. If we're trying to join this table of users with some other table that also has phone numbers, say we have some information associated with the phone number of a user, for example, the email or the operator or whatever, you can't just really straightforward go like join table users on phones equals the phone in some other table, because it's just one big field with a bunch of different items. So if we want to like do an update to like replace all the phone numbers that are like something with something else, then we would also have to go through the phones field and split all the phones and then replace that value, which is also like not that easy to do. So that's why we don't have arrays in tables usually, because of problems like this, because then you have to do some weird ass like string operations and stuff, and you probably remember from a few weeks ago that it wasn't that straightforward to do. It's a lot more of a mess to do that than to just do like a bunch of joins. So say we're changing this table into something that's a bit more approachable or usable, we would probably have one table that is user, which would have like an ID and a first name and a last name. And then we would have a second table that could be called like user phone, that would have the ID of the that user, and then just a bunch of different rows of the of the ID of the user plus the phone that that user is associated with. And if we want to, and we end up with these two different tables, one with all the user information, one with the user ID plus the phone. And then if we want to revert that operation, we can always do like a join between the two tables, and then we do like a group concat or something to get all those phone numbers into one specific field, right? So that's what it means by decomposition being always lossless. You can always redo whatever you need from all these different tables you've created by doing some joins and some operations. It should never, you should never lose any data or any relationships by splitting the data into different tables. So full functional dependency, what does that mean? A functional dependency is basically if you if you remove anything from A, the relationship doesn't hold true anymore. This is a shitty example, because if you remove ID, then you don't have anything on the left side. But say, for example, let me find another. Something that has multiple keys. Yeah, this. We have the grouping, or we have one table here that has the social security number and the project that that employee works in, and then the number of hours, and then the employee name, the project, and the location, right? These other fields, so like hours and name and pname and location, they're all functionally dependent on the social security number plus the project number. So we take away project number, you are not going to have the same relationship between between like the keys and the data, right? All of these are associated with both of those values, both the social security number and the P number at once. If you take away like either of them, the dependency between the data and the keys is not the same, right? So by being fully functionally dependent on something means you can't just take a subset of whatever the key is. It's always the attributes that are dependent on like a group of values are dependent on that group of values, not just a part of it, right? And that's where the second normal form comes in. So a table that is in the second normal form is both in the first normal form, and then there's no non-prime key attributes that is fully functionally dependent on the primary key. So what does that mean? Say here we have a this table. This table has the social security number of the employee that works in a project. It has the number of the project, has the number of hours that that employee has worked on that project. It has the name of the employee, the name of the project, and the location of the project. So you take all the attributes that are not keys, and you try to figure out what is this dependent on, right? So ours, if we had like the diagram that we're used to having, it would be an attribute of the relationship, right? Because ours is both dependent on the project that the employee is working on, but also the employee. It's not only on the employee, it's not only on the project, is with the union of both. But take like employee name, that is independent from whatever project that employee is working on, right? That is only tied up to the employee, nothing else. So that field is only dependent on the social security number. Same with like the project name and the project location, that has nothing to do with any employees. That is only dependent on whatever the project number is. So by mapping what these relationships are and what these dependencies are, then we can arrive at three different tables that map these dependencies. So the process is move the attributes that are only partially dependent to a new relation along with their partial key, and keep the attributes that are fully dependent on the primary key. So say if we have a diagram and a field is dependent on the relationship, so ours is both dependent on social security number and P number, that stays in employee project. But everything else, so say like employee name, that should be moved away, and it's only dependent on the social security number, and then the project name and the project location, those are only dependent on the project number, right? So there's no stuff that depend, like for each of the attributes there aren't keys, they all depend uniquely on the entire key, not just parts of it, right? I'll try to explain again.
You're gonna end up with all these like small tables, is that necessarily a bad thing?
It can be a bad thing if you have like 100 different tables and the needs for these tables are usually retrieved like together, right? So if you have all these different tables, but every time you retrieve data, you need to join all of them, that is going to take quite a bit of processing power to do, which might not be the best approach because you're using a lot of resources to join all these tables again. But at the same time, that also ensures that there is integrity in the data, which means there's no duplicates and there's no like funny business going around. So then it's up to whatever you value the most. Is it processing time? Is it, should this be retrieved like super fast, or should there be more constraints in the data? And that is always like a trade-off that you're going to have to do. Like you can spend like 5 hours all the time making sure all the data is correct and it's fine. And that is necessary if you have a system where any errors in the integrity of the data might cost you like $1 million, you know? If like some stuff not being valid or being the wrong type of being the wrong type of value or whatever, if that type of system goes to shit, then that can be bad. If those constraints of like, does this need to be like 100% right all the time is not that high, then it's maybe better to just make it fast. It depends. Basically, that first table is in the first normal form, and then we're trying to normalize it into the second normal form. To normalize it into the second normal form, we have to isolate away all the stuff that depends on only parts of the key, not the full key. So remember when we had like a fucking hell. This one works? Yeah, great. Was it? Yeah, it works on. Remember when we had like a diagram like this, where we have like departments on one side, and or projects on one side, and employees on the other, and then we would have like an attribute that is related to the relationship itself. So like the number of hours worked on something isn't only associated with the employee, right? Because if you're keeping track of the number of hours that an employee worked, you don't know how much to charge each of the clients for each of the projects, because there's no information about how many hours were used on the project. But if you're only storing the number of hours on the project, you don't know how many employees or how many hours each employee worked, because all that is stored in the project, so you don't know the breakdown between the employees. So then you have this number of hours field that is related to both of these concepts, right? The number of hours is associated with both the project and the employee that works on them at the same time. Fuck me. Which means ours is both dependent on the employee and on the project, right? Does that make sense? But all those other fields, they don't depend on both of them at the same time. They depend on one of them. So the employee name doesn't depend on the social security or on the project number. And the project name and the location, they don't depend on the employee. They're independent from each other. So whenever we would have so if we're visualizing this, so if we're visualizing this data in, like, what could be inserted into this table, we would have social security number 1, 2, and 3, and then project. Two, three. And then we'd have like the number of hours, which in this case could be like 10, 15, 20. And then we have like the employee name, VCD. And the project name. Project 1, project 2, and project 3. So why is this wrong? Because if we have the social security number and the project. The number of hours specifically depend on these pair of values, right? These pair of values are unique, so there's no two rows that will have like the same value of 1 and 2, because these are the keys. So for each of these pairs of values, there's exactly one row with in this table, right? And then, so each of the number of hours is going to depend on this pair of values here. But then take the employee name. The employee name is dependent only on the social security number. So if we're going to have another row here with 1 and then on project 3, that is like, I don't know, 30 hours, and then we're going to have B, and then we're going to have project 3. So what happens now that we've inserted a new row with the same employee that we had before, now we're repeating the name of that same employee. We have B here again, and we already had B here. This is dependent on the social security number. So we're just repeating data that, like, why are we repeating it when we already have, like, the social security number and we have, and we can just map it to a specific name. So we always know that, like, employee one always has the name of B, and that's it, you know? We don't need to, like, go around, like, repeating their name, like, all the time, every time we insert a new row with the same employee, right? Say, like, B decides to change their name, then we don't need to go through every row of this table to change that B into an F. We can just come here and just be like, okay, employee with social security number of 1 is just called F now. And that's it. We don't need to, like, go through all the rows. And the same with project name. So for project name here, we have the project name isn't dependent on both of these values, because we see here that there are, like, duplicates that relate to each of the project numbers that we have here. So project 2 is always going to be called project 2. Project 3 is always going to be called project 3. So again, this is like duplicate information. Every time we insert a project or a group of employee plus projects that has the same project number, we're just going to, so we insert like a 2 here. We already know this is going to be project 2, right? As the name. So this, again, is useless. So we could just have another table that has a project name, number, and the P name. And then this would be like 2, proj 2, 3, proj 3, right? And then the third table would be only this part of the table, right? Does that make a bit more sense? Cool. So take this. Is this in the second normal form? And if yes, and if it's not, then how can it be? How can it be made into that? Fuck off. So we have a building. Got a building ID that has a vertical order, a building name, a street, postal code, floor name, floor elevation in meters, and the floor short name. And that there's a functional dependencies there, which is the building name, the street and the postal code depend on the building ID, and then the floor name, floor elevation, and short name depend on both the building ID and the vertical order. Can I use this? Is this going to be like? Oh, fuck. Oh, okay. Ah. Shit. So we have one table here that is called building that has a building ID, has a vertical order, name, and street, postal code, floor name, okay. So this is the table, and then we have that the building name, the street and the postal code. This is functional dependency one, and then it would be functional dependency two, which is these two going into floor name, elevation. Yeah. So we have these three attributes that are directly related to both of them, right? So if we had the diagram where we have a building on the one side and then a relationship and then the V order on the other side, the attributes for this relationship would be those three fields. So for a building and for a vertical order, we have a floor name. This would be like, you know, the building could be like Empire State Building. And then the V order would be like floor one, floor two, floor three. And then for each of the floors, we have, what do we call it? What is their short name? And what is their elevation in meters? So these three attributes depend both on the building and whatever that floor is, right? Because if you take that floor into like some other building, say like the Chrysler Building, then they're going to have like a different name and a different like height from the floor, because the floors might be different heights and stuff, right? So all of these kind of depend on both the building and whatever floor they actually are. So we can take the first step is to take build ID and then the V order. And then take these three attributes, F name and F short name. And elevation. So that's the first step. And then we have like three other attributes here, but they only depend on the building ID. So the building name is unique to each of the buildings. The street is also unique to each of the buildings. It doesn't matter what floor of the building we're talking about. Like, all the floors are going to be on the same street, unless it's like a weird-ass building. And they're also going to be in the same postal code, unless they're like in the middle of a district or something, and then they're split in half for some administrative reason. Which means all these three, they don't care about like what the floor is. So if we're gonna have a table, and if we had these all these attributes, so like the building ID, and we had like all the floors that are associated with these, we would end up with duplicates of the names, because we'd have multiple entries for the same building for each of the floors, and then we would have like the names of all those buildings always duplicate, which is unnecessary. So then we can have just another table where the key would be the building ID, which is what everything else depends on. That's why it becomes the key, because every other attribute depends on building ID. And then we would have like the building name and the street and the postal code. So it's not enough to have like a table like this. If it's going to be in the second normal form, you need to do these steps, and then you end up with two different tables that remove all the duplicates, right? Does it make a bit more sense when I'm actually like going through the example? Yeah. Cool. Yeah, all this like theoretical abstract stuff is a bit hard to digest if you don't have examples. Like this, if I go like, yeah, transitive dependency is when B depends on A and C depends on B, then C depends on A, which is like, okay, cool. But what does that actually mean? So if we have these functional dependencies where we have for the ID, which is the key, we have the first name and the last name and the street, street number, postal code and town. And then we also have that the town depends on the postal code. That means if we have a dependency here, we have that postal code depends on ID. And then we also have the town depends on postal code. And if you just follow the arrows, then you end up with the town. Since it depends on postal code, it also depends on ID. Which is not ideal. Because if we're going to have a relation like this, even though every attribute in that relation depends only to ID, which means it's in the second normal form, we will still have duplicates because we will have the information about the town repeated every time we have repeating postal codes, right? So you take all these attributes, and if you do something like this, you are going to realize that, like, yeah, all these attributes that are there, like first name, last name, all this stuff, they all depend on just ID. So it is in second normal form. They are already only dependent on one part of the key, which is the only part of the key, which is ID. So then we need to go into the third step for like normalization, which is the third normal form. And this is that no non-prime key attribute is transitively dependent on the primary key. So what all this stuff means is that this table that is in second normal form, we still have one of the attributes that is dependent on the primary key through like the transitive property. Which means, yeah, if we had a... table which would have like the ID and the postal code and the town, and if we have like 1 and 2819 and Jevik, and then we have another customer that has the ID of 2 and is the same postal code, we would also end up with the same town here, which again we're duplicating data on, because this is dependent on another attribute from the same table. So we have postal code that, or we have town that is dependent on postal code. Here again, we have only one attribute as the primary key, which is social security number. And then we have the department that each of those people work in. But we have these two columns that are dependent on the department number, which means we end up with a bunch of different duplicates in the same table. So if that is the case, so if we have a dependency... that is a dependency on something else that is not a key, then we can just split those two and we can just keep whatever is identifying in the same table, and then everything else can just go into a different table. So if we have this, which is a blog number, actually, yeah, just do this at home. That's enough. We can finish these slides next week, and then next week I'll just try and like prepare a bunch of exercises and stuff so I can go over all this stuff that was... thought this week that was a bit heavy in a more approachable way. But that is it for this week. Ugh, I'm tired too. This is too much talking.